Hare Krishna, welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Thank you all so much for joining the call and giving us your very valuable association and chanting so very beautifully. Today's class will be given by His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu. Today we are discussing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 25, verse 33 onwards. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for giving us your very valuable association. You can now take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Brahma Shabde Kahe Sadaishwarya Purna Bhagavan Sandre Nirviseshastapi Purnata Hayahana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The word Brahman, the greatest, indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all six opulences. But if we take the one-sided impersonalist view, His fullness is diminished. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is originally the Supreme Person, and He expands Himself impersonally through His potency. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina mattani sarva bhutani nachaham teshravastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The potency of Krishna that is spread everywhere is impersonal. Just as the sunlight is the impersonal expansion of the sun globe and the sun god. If we simply take one side of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His impersonal effulgence, that one side does not fully explain the Absolute Truth. Impersonal appreciation of the Absolute Truth is one-sided and incomplete. One should also accept the other side, the personal side, Bhagavan, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti sabhyate. One should not be satisfied simply by understanding the Brahman feature of the personality of Godhead. One must also know the Lord's personal feature, that is complete understanding of the Absolute Truth. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is describing about the deliverance of the inhabitants of Varanasi. In the process of Mahaprabhu's manifested Leela, Mahaprabhu had bestowed his benediction to different people in different way. For somebody, Mahaprabhu gave his blessings by chastisement. For somebody, Mahaprabhu gave blessings by giving them superlative position. For somebody, Mahaprabhu gave his blessings by making them feel separation from Mahaprabhu and eventually directing them towards his disciples. For some people, Mahaprabhu took a very humble stand. For some people, Mahaprabhu took the position of a scholar. And for most of us, the followers of Gaudiya Vaishnava process, he is bestowing his benediction by offering us the most rarest form of devotion, which is prema, through his personal leela as Bhakta Bhagavan, Bhagavan in the form of a devotee. So the current context is where Mahaprabhu is in the process of delivering the Mayavadis in Varanasi, and the exact specific sequence that we are in is one of the disciples of Prakashananda Saraswati is glorifying in front of his own Gurudev about Mahaprabhu's unlimited mercy. We are discussing today is actually telling how Shankaracharya did not give the complete truth, and whatever he gave had shortcomings, one-sided, aberrated, and hence everyone should take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and accept the absolute truth as he explains. So, we are going to have three sets of reflections to this current context. And the first one is about a general understanding on why he is in Mayavad. And people should know, especially as we Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we should know why are we rejecting Mayavada philosophy. What is there in Mayavada that is completely to be avoided to an extent? That Mahaprabhu says, Mayavada Bhashya Hoile Sunile Sarvanash. If anybody hears the philosophy of Mayavad, they will be completely doomed. And it used to be the customary, or it used to be the recommendation, or it used to be practice for all the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Mahaprabhu used to say, that if you happen to see a Mayavadi sannyasi, we better go and take bath before you do any other activity. It is that much contaminated. But the interesting contradiction is, Mahaprabhu apparently took his sannyas from an Ekadandi Mayavadi sannyasi in Katwa. We will not go there. That's a separate leela by itself. And actually speaking, even though Mahaprabhu externally took sannyas from Mayavadi sannyasi, technically he gave sannyas to him and in turn did a procedural drama so that his mission can spread pretty fast. So we will not discuss the Katwa leela. The first reflection of our today's discussion is going to be why Mayavada is rejected. What is that in Mayavada that Gaudiya Vaishnava or all the Vaishnava Acharyas reject? Prabhupada talks about it very elaborately in the book called Second Chance. Prabhupada talks about it in Science of Self-Realization. Prabhupada talks about it in teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Various places Prabhupada is talking about it. And it used to be a procedure that anybody who has to have a preaching movement, they need to have a pramana basis, and definitely they need to base them on some bhashya. If anybody asks us what is the basis of our Krishna consciousness philosophy, we have to say three things. We can say many things, but three basic things we need to say. For all the technical, scholarly people, if at all, we get into some, during book distributions, we may come across some scholars who may really put us on a spot to establish this Panditya or whatever that is. Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary for the Vedanta Sutra. And Govinda Bhashya, written by Balladeva Vidya Bhushana, who is one of our Acharya in the Parampara. That is one basis, one Pramana. Number two Pramana is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life teachings of Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva. We will talk about that today to some extent. And the third is the Parampara that we are following, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, in which Srila Prabhupada is one of a bona fide authorized personality presenting the facts and philosophies. So we are not some whimsical sentimentalists, neither we are dry philosophers. We are very practical as well as technical devotees. So every action of us, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, should have a pramana. Whether it is devotional activities, whether it is our constitutional responsibilities, or even to an extent our conditional responsibilities, they should be performed on the basis of some pramana, some directives from the Gaudiya Vaishnava recommendations. The moment we take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, apart from the initiation vows, which is following four requisite principles, 16 rounds, which is definitely important basis, primarily, that's a ground on which we can be included in a, bona fide sampradaya as a member. But one inherent implicit commitment that we are making is, we are subscribing that our life will be led based on the directives of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. We don't explicitly make it as a vow. Like, for example, in a marriage ceremony, there are some explicit vows that we make. I will protect my wife. I will treat her nice. Whatever. So. We call them as Saptapati. 7 important steps or commitments. In turn, the wife also makes that. But there is an implicit understanding. The implicit understanding is, we are coming together not just for sense gratification, we are coming together for some ultimate goal. That is why Grihastha Ashrama is called as an ashrama, because it is just not by those rules and regulations that we explicitly state during the, you know, vows. It is all about implicitly, why are we coming together, and is the ultimate goal of life is to serve the spiritual master and to keep Krishna in the center and glorify him. When we take initiation vows, the implicit commitment is, my life will be led very categorically on the path delineated by Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Vaishnava Acharyas, explicitly, because we are connected to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Our Gurudev are all followers of Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. We are not against, or we are not conflicting with other bona fide Sampradayas. Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, you know, Kumara Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya. We are not contradicting with them. At the same time, we are committing about our, you know, philosophy as well as life on the basis of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. This is not a branding. This is our implicit connection to our spiritual authorities. So hence, we should know both sides of our Krishna consciousness philosophy. That is the argument here. The argument here is, please don't present one side of the truth, and that too in an aberrated manner. Please present both sides of the truth. So we are going to see all sides of the truth today. And these three reflections that we are going to discuss, where all the aspects of our functioning is clarified. There may be some Sri Vaishnavas, Ramanuja Sampradaya followers in this, you know, devotee circles. There may be somebody who is coming from Nimbarka Sampradaya. There may be somebody who is coming from, Rudra Sampradaya. But they would have decided, committed, surrendered to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, which means definitely you are not trying to be illoyal to anybody. But the loyalty and surrender and connection should be on the basis of Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings. So as a part of our discussion, we will also explain how it is not contradictory. Mahaprabhu is one avatar who is all-encompassing, who is all-merciful, and at the same time, he shields us from the most dangerous, vicious circle of Mayavad. That is why we glorify Srila Prabhupada as the one who finished off Nirvisesha as well as Sunyavadi, Mayavad as well as Buddhism. So with this small introduction, I would like to discuss about the three reflections. The reflection number one is, why Mayavad is rejected. So there are four basic reasons. There may be 40, 400, 4,000. I mean, somebody wants to do a research on Mayavada philosophy and their, you know, different aspects of that. Epistemology, ontology of Mayavada, you can keep on studying that. But to keep it simple and to get going with our main agenda, so let us list the four major reasons why Mayavada is rejected. And I am telling this based on my little research on what Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in various places. Number one reason why Mayavada is rejected is Mayavada philosophy denies the existence of God. Or even if they argue that there exists God, God is impersonal. And this is completely wrong, and to an extent this is misleading and misguiding. Number two, Mayavada philosophy says ultimately everything is zero. According to Shankara philosophy, they call it as Panchopashana. Which means all that exists is eventually all just intermittent stuff, but they are all going to vanish. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Science of Self-Realization, Chapter 3, the present Indian system of religion or culture is based on the Mayavada philosophy of Shankaracharya, which is a compromise with Buddhist philosophy. According to Mayavada philosophy, there actually is no God, or if God exists, he is impersonal and all-pervading and can therefore be imagined in any form. This conclusion is not in accord with the Vedic literature. That literature names many demigods who are worshipped for different purposes, but in every case, the Supreme Lord, the personality of God and Vishnu, is accepted as the Supreme Controller. That is real Vedic culture. Srila Prabhupada further writes, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness does not deny the existence of God and the demigods, but Mayavada philosophy denies both. It maintains neither the demigods nor God exists. For the Mayavadis, ultimately all is zero. The Mayavadis say that because one cannot concentrate on one's mind on the impersonal Brahman, one may imagine any of these forms. This is a new system called Panchopashana. So hence, the second aspect is ultimately all is zero. Third, as we just read now, is about the form of the Lord or the demigod is just intermittent. So they go on to explain even the human form is only an adulterated, polluted form. The moment we reach liberation, even the current spirit soul, each and every one of us, can become Brahman and get the ultimate position. So which is completely wrong and also an offense. And the last reason is Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, where he explains that the Brahman is absolute true, the material creation is false. And Srila Prabhupada does not agree on this fact, and no spiritual authorities. Some of these points are interconnected or state something similar. And one of the reasons why Mahaprabhu says this needs to be rejected is that it is so confusing as well as alluring that we don't get to realize and we don't get to differentiate where is the trap. And Mahaprabhu says, anybody who subscribes to Mayavada philosophy is actually an offender, because they not only tell incorrect things, the philosophy is meant to damage a particular ideology to reinstate another lost ideology. So technically speaking, Mayavada philosophy, which was originally propounded by Adi Shankaracharya, who is non-different from Lord Shiva, under the order of the Supreme Lord. So technically, in one sense, you can say, Lord Buddha, who is also Krishna's incarnation, one of the Dasavatars, Shankaracharya, who is actually Lord Shiva, who is in turn the Gunavatara of the Supreme Lord. So even the most abrated part of the philosophy is coming from Krishna in one way. But then they are meant for some intermittent strategic situation. Srila Prabhupada writes in Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 19. He says, the philosophy of Buddha is more or less repeated in Mayavada philosophy of impersonalism, although the Mayavadi philosophy claims to be directed by the Vedic conclusions. Lord Shiva, however, admits that this philosophy is manufactured by him in the age of Kali in order to mislead the atheists. Prabhupada further writes, on the same subject in various places, elaborating them. So the principle of Mayavada is not meant, this is a intermittent medicine suitable for a specific disease. This medicine cannot be given to each and everyone. With this medicine consumed, they will be poisoned. The reason we are repeating this, as Prabhupada explained, as I just read, the Indian Vedic philosophy predominantly is based on Shankaracharya's Mayavada philosophy. So if at all any of you have been born in Indian families, and if you have got some spiritual upbringing, unless and otherwise you are a bona fide Sri Vaishnava with a bona fide family tradition, all that you would have learned about spirituality is just nothing but Mayavad. We may not have gone to that extent of blaspheming Krishna, but we would have definitely accepted Krishna, not that supreme, but eventually would have spoken, would have heard, would have interacted, saying that eventually I will merge in that Jyoti, I will merge in that, Brahman. I had heard this many times in my own upbringing. But what is the right aspect? Is the impersonal form of the Lord not the right explanation? It is. But what Prabhupada says, it is incomplete if you just say that the Lord is impersonal. Lord is impersonal also is the right explanation. That is why Srila Prabhupada in this current verse that we read today is referring about maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Why is he referring to this sloka? He is saying that yes, I have an impersonal aspect of mine. So don't confuse the impersonal aspect of Krishna to the impersonal aspect that is explained by Mayavada philosophy. So please understand, whatever I am speaking is very important for we as practitioners of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta to completely understand this, teach this to our children, because any temple and every temple is not Krishna consciousness. Any place and every place is not devotional service. Any philosophy and every philosophy that talks about spirituality is not something that we need to embrace. We have a responsibility towards the philosophy that we are inheriting, and more so, we have the responsibility to very categorically and vigilantly look at not mixing Mayavada or Sunyavada in our logics and philosophy. Because this preaching has happened for so many centuries that somewhere it has got deep rooted into our tradition and culture, that it has become kind of a nature for us to acknowledge God as formless or God as somebody whom we have not seen. And to add to this whole mess, the so-called atheists, the so-called different religious beliefs have added to this confusion. And to add furthermore to this mess, those who are part of Bollywood era, or those who are followers of Bollywood stars and celebrities, they also subscribe to some stupid ideologies. If Shah Rukh Khan, or if somebody, A.R. Rahman, or anybody who is a very famous star in India, they say some philosophical statements, our younger generation, because they are not educated to the philosophical aspects of life, they start to believe and subscribe that as life. We live only once. Who knows whether we have next life or not? So enjoy to the core. So come up with all stupid ideologies. So one of the very important responsibilities for all of us is not just to know what our philosophy is great. It is to also very categorically look at our own lives, ideologies, choices, priorities, and recommendations to others, that we are not mixing any Mayavada, Sunyavada, or some sort of modern ideologies. And Prabhupada was very particular. In fact, a person is established Acharya because of his emphatic insistence, or his preachings is pretty clear on a clear-cut ideology. Even Shankaracharya did that very nicely. Emphatically, he preached Mayavada philosophy. And Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, everybody, they came later and made sure, they also did their job very well. But in the history of our, Kali Yuga is such that it is meant to confuse, and meant to also to take choices and eventually, get exit from the cycle of birth and death. It is in our hands. So hence my first reflection is to understand why Mayavada is rejected and what our responsibility is toward them. I will give one small, example. There is a book called Gyaneshwari in Maharashtra. So according to Maharashtrian tradition, Gyaneshwari is considered as one of the very powerful literature, and they equate Gyaneshwari to Bhagavad Gita, or even somebody, something superior to that. But according to bona fide Acharya's recommendation, this Gyaneshwari is Gyaneshwar Maharaj, whom so many so-called Vittal worshippers, so many so-called followers, and with a heavy heart I can say that so many ISKCON devotees, they embrace, oh, Gyaneshwar Maharaj has spoken about Krishna, but underlying philosophy is Mayavad. He is a monist. So we need to be very careful to understand the lineage. Just because somebody above me said this, something correct, I just follow, is not the point. That is why Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. All that your Guru says is to be accepted only when it is in Shastra. If somebody accepts Guru blindly, he will go to hell. If somebody accepts Shastras blindly, he will go to hell. In the sense that he will put himself in trouble. So, Mahaprabhu now is going to perform a leela, which I think Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has already elaborated in Adi Leela 7th chapter. He has already clarified here that I am going to only share those things that I have not shared before. So Mahaprabhu is going to crush the ego and pride of Prakashananda Saraswati and going to make him his follower. And he has already done that to Prakashananda Saraswati's disciple. So as a disciple who is technically supposed to serve the spiritual master, the disciple is glorifying Prakashananda Saraswati's disciple, is glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the philosophy propagated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we all need to be hence very clear in our understanding of Krishna consciousness philosophy, and we need to stay put to that and not get distracted just because there are some intellectual intriguing points shared by others. Our goal of Krishna consciousness is not to get intrigued. Our goal of Krishna consciousness is to get purified of all such nonsenses and eventually lead a simple, loving life to glorify Krishna. Reflection number two. The way we are discussing why Mayavada is rejected, I'll talk about how Mahaprabhu managed to counteract Mayavada. So all the points that we discussed so far, the four points, Mahaprabhu has based his teachings. Mahaprabhu had inherited totally 8 principles, 2 per sampradaya, and eventually propagated Achindya Beda Abheda Tattva. So we need to understand the reason Mahaprabhu has taken 2 from each is because Mahaprabhu says there may be some seemingly contradicting in certain practices, but the purpose and intention towards glorifying Vishnu is common amongst all the Vaishnava Acharyas, and hence if somebody follow me, they are already acknowledging Ramanuja Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, Nimbarka Sampradaya. So technically, if somebody follows Gaudiya Vaishnava process, he gets the blessings and gets the privilege of subscribing to all Vaishnava Acharya's ideologies, leaving aside the transactional contradiction. Even within Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are many, many, you know, sub-sects. Even in different philosophies, bona fide philosophies, there are different, you know, paths. Even in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, we have few bona fide branches. So it is like Chaitanya tree is the main trunk. But then ISKCON is one branch. There are so many other branches which are bona fide in terms of certain practices, certain core elements. Transactionally, there may be some differences. And people may argue on that. But Srila Prabhupada says and clarifies elsewhere that so long as somebody understands the purposes and principles behind my preaching, because Prabhupada, God brothers, many people they accused Srila Prabhupada because he went away from his Guru Maharaj's movement and started his own movement. So they kind of accused Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada clarifies in first canto, one of the chapters, probably fifth chapter, one of the purports. My endeavors may have imperfections, but then the intention behind all this endeavor is to win more and more soul to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And because my intention was pure, I am sure all my readers will be benefited. So the second reflection is about Mahaprabhu's all-encompassing philosophy. We are just only going to list them, those 8 points. And separately, I think it's a good topic to have an elaborate discussion on the 8 points, two per sampradaya that Mahaprabhu inherited and how they are comprising our Achintya Bheda, Bheda Tattva. From Sri Sampradaya, Mahaprabhu took two philosophies. Number one, Ananya Bhakti. Number two, Bhakta Jana Seva. What is Ananya Bhakti? The concept of unalloyed devotion free from karma and jnana. The very famous words that we talk about. The pure devotional service, Anya Bilashita Sunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. So that component of free from jnana and karma, unalloyed devotional service, Mahaprabhu picked it up from Sri Sampradaya. Number two, Bhakta Jana Seva, the service of the devotees, he has picked it up from Ramananda Sampradaya. From Madhva Sampradaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inherited two principles. Principle number one, Kevala Advaita Nirasana. Number two, Krishna Murti Sevana. Kevala Advaita Nirasana means the complete defeat of the Mayavada philosophy. Madhvacharya was very bold. And number two, the worship of the deity of Krishna and understanding the Lord as Archa Vigraha to be eternal. Vishnu Swami of Rudra Sampradaya preached the Suddhadvaita philosophy. And in Mahaprabhu's manifesto Leela, he was Vallabha Bhatta, who perfected his own Sampradaya by Gauranga's mercy. So from Rudra Sampradaya, Mahaprabhu inherited two principles. Tadiya Sarvasva Bhava and Raga Marga. Tadiya Sarvasva Bhava means the sentiment of total dependence on Krishna. Rakshishyati Viswaso, which means I am totally dependent on Krishna. And Raga Marga means the path of spontaneous devotional service. And from Kumara Sampradaya, who preached Dvaitadvaita philosophy. Actually, the Keshava Kashmiri who performed some Leela with Mahaprabhu, he's actually Nimbarkacharya, who came as Keshava Kashmiri to perfect in association with Mahaprabhu, his ideologies. So the two ideologies that he received, inherited from Kumara Sampradaya, are Ekanta Radhika Ashraya and Gopi Bhava. Ekanta Radhika Ashraya means the need of taking exclusive shelter of Radhika, and Gopi Bhava means the exalted mood of the gopis' love for Sri Krishna. We need to understand this because Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is not a baseless movement just to propagate Hare Krishna Mahamantra like a madman. Of course, that is the means and that is the end. But there is wonderful forts, wonderful philosophical treaties that Mahaprabhu has subscribed to, and anybody who is challenged or who wants to understand the philosophical perspective behind ISKCON movement is welcome to, you know, study these 8 points in detail. Hence, my second reflection is what the disciple of Prakashananda Saraswati was telling Mahaprabhu as well as Prakashananda Saraswati, that the current context that we are in. He is telling, look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Look at the perspectives that Mahaprabhu has inherited. You take 360 view of things. Don't try to embrace just some ideology which is half-baked and that too aberrated. So hence, we as practitioners need to also understand we have a responsibility. So the way you dress, the way you talk, the content that you speak, they all are supposed to be very, very vigilant, because if there is a trace of distraction and deviation, it may bring in some kalank, some spot on the pure process of Krishna consciousness which Srila Prabhupada was trying to establish. That is why Srila Prabhupada was very authentic, bona fide and very emphatic. He allowed every other lenience. He tolerated hippies' bad behavior. He tolerated all sorts of imperfections. He tolerated so many mistakes that his disciples did. Management problems, everything Srila Prabhupada tolerated, but for that philosophical deviation and identifying this process of Krishna consciousness anywhere closer to Mayavada or Shunyavada. For that, Srila Prabhupada did not give any compromise and he simply rejected it. And that was the same mood Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, that was the same mood Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that was the same mood Rupa Goswami Pad, and that was the same mood Mahaprabhu, and the whole lineage. So the reflection here is to also support the view that the disciple of Prakashananda Saraswati is pointing here and what Srila Prabhupada is, you know, highlighting. A third aspect of the third reflection of this, you know, today's conversation is about to know that the Krishna consciousness, the mellow, the beauty, the rasa of Krishna consciousness is not in the impersonal aspect of his understanding. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sharupa Goswami writes, Atastri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyaihi Sevon Mukehi Jihvadav Swayam Evas Puratyataha. There are two things that we want to highlight as a part of the third reflection, which actually brings in the sweetest part of Krishna consciousness. And the sweetest part of Krishna consciousness is Sevon Mukehi Jihvadav Swayam Yeva Spradyataha. Lord Krishna's name, fame, pastimes cannot be understood by material senses. Only one who has engaged in the pure devotional service under the proper guidance, he is only revealed about this mellow. Sevon Mukehi Jihvadav Swayam Yeva Spradyataha. So the devotional service, so by we avoiding Mayavada, by we embracing Mahaprabhu's Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, what do we gain? We gain access to Krishna's devotional service. What do we gain? We gain access to Krishna's pastimes. What do we gain? We gain access to Krishna's holy name. And what do we gain? We get access to Krishna's transcendental abode. Why? Not because you knew what is the difference between Mayavada and personal vada. It is because we did devotional service. So the third aspect of it, that the third reflection is, the devotional service aspect of our process is just not some engagement to purify our senses. The devotional service aspect of our philosophy is in itself a destination. Because Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Dhas. And this one single phrase establish our identity, our relationship and Krishna's supreme position. And Mahaprabhu is going to explain that to Prakashananda Saraswati. And Prakashananda Saraswati is going to repent for his stupidity and the mistakes and the challenge that he gave to Mahaprabhu. So my third reflection is about what Srila Prabhupada is explaining to the purport of the shloka that he referred in the shloka. In the purport of Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Prabhupada writes, one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda always within himself and outside himself if one has developed the transcendental loving attitudes towards him. Transcendental loving attitude. Not transcendental duty attitude. Not transcendental formality attitude. Transcendental loving attitude. Why? Love is beyond rules. Love means sincerity and sentiment. Not formality. Not duty. So, premanjara churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. For sure, Krishna also explains about the unmanifested and he says that some people may get attracted to him, the unmanifested part of me. That is okay. But don't call it as a conclusion of the Supreme's absolute truth. That is where the trick is. So hence my third reflection is, the devotional service opportunity that we all are getting is not some stopgap arrangement. It is the arrangement. The devotional service that we are all bestowed with, it is not some intermittent process to purify us, to eventually take us to somewhere else. No. The devotional service that we are all bestowed in is to purify us and to retain us in the same process, probably in the same service. And somebody asked Prabhupada, when will I know about my Swarupa? So the Swarupa Siddhi or revelation about what is your constitutional nature or what is the constitutional relationship with Krishna is revealed only when we develop transcendental loving attitude towards Him and perform devotion service. Then we will naturally get to the stage of samadhi. Gradually, organically, and for sure. So the devotion service that we are all expected to do, engaged in, enjoying, is something that this process of devotion, Krishna consciousness, is only bestowing. Everybody else is also talking about service. Some people talk about philanthropic service. Somebody is talking about social service. Somebody is talking about some damage control, safety related, various related service. That those are all superficial, or to an extent they are all an aberration. Because the constitutional nature of the soul is to love and to serve. And the reason that is we are Krishna's part and parcel. By being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we tend to love Him and we are supposed to serve Him. Now that we are separated from Him, or we are trying to stay away from Him by our own ego, but the propensity is not curtailed. But the person to whom we should be doing it is redirected. Instead of serving and loving Krishna, we are, you know, serving and loving somebody else. If we are not finding somebody else, we are finding some pet dog. So hence our devotional service is our basis for our existence in devotional life. And whilst we are performing our devotional service, we should very carefully remember not to mix it up with any amount of adulteration coming from Mayavada ideologies, which may be very alluring, which may be very confusing, and which may challenge certain aspect of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, because we are ignorant to such facts, we may get carried away. So hence, Srila Prabhupada personally requested, personally quoted Mahaprabhu's phrase of Mayavada, Bhashya, Huile, Sunile, Sarvanas. So, I would like to conclude by summarizing these 3 points, that this Krishna consciousness process is a very pure process, simple but scientific process, not sentimental or emotional or superficial one. There are sentiments, but those sentiments have got underlying basis. So we need to lead our spiritual life based on some pramana, some basis, and we need to be loyal and committed to this process of Gaudiya Vaishnava, because we are all followers and members of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And as a part of this process, we should know that how Mayavada is not accepted and why they are rejected. And 4 points, they deny the existence of God. They ultimately claim everything is zero. And form of the Lord and demigods are intermittent. And they claim that how this material world is mithya, is a false. And only Brahman is truth. What Krishna says, this material world is dukkalayam asashvatam. He is not saying it is false. It is saying temporary, which is interpreted as false. So which is itself a bigger deviation there. And the second reflection that we had was about Mahaprabhu's inheritance of principles and how he based his teachings based on 8 principles, 2 from each acharyas, of Vaishnava acharyas. And by just following Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, we are actually going strong in following a spiritual practice which is not only just bona fide, is also all encompassing. So those 8 points are the concept of unalloyed devotion free from karma and jnana, which is defined by Ananya Bhakti. Number 2, service to the devotees, which is called Bhakta Jana Seva, these two are from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, where Mahaprabhu inherited. The concept of Kevala Advaita Nirasana, which means the complete defeat of Mayavada philosophy, and Krishnamurti Sevana, which means the worship of the deity of Krishna and understanding them to be eternal. This he derived from Madhva Sampradaya. Tadiya Sarvasva Bhavaha, the sentiment of total dependence on Krishna, and Raga Marga, the path of spontaneous devotional service, is something that Mahaprabhu derived from Rudra Sampradaya. Ekanta Radhika Shraya, which means the need of taking exclusive shelter of Radhika, Gopi Bhava, the exalted mood of the Gopi's love for Shri Krishna, is derived from Kumara Sampradaya. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by taking this humble stand of a devotee of the Lord, he preached, demonstrated, and shown us how this process of Krishna consciousness is so engaging as well as so happily performed when we understand this philosophy. And the last point is what Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita text 4, where this devotion service is a process by which Devon Mukehi Jihvadav Swayam Yeva Spuratyataha. So this devotional service is not just some intermittent stopgap arrangement. This devotional service is the arrangement, and we all, as practicing devotees, need to embrace our devotional service as the ultimate aspect or ultimate blessings that we have received. And we need to see to that we don't mix it with any amount of aberrations or deviations which otherwise is imposed by the materialistic philosophy. So my two cents to conclude, to say that we are all blessed to be part of this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. We are blessed with wonderful devotees who are helping us to practice Krishna consciousness. Beware of deviations, and we can fight it out, these deviations, when we go strong, when we take this Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta and the blessings from our predecessor acharyas to us. All this so-called small, short-time, small-town philosophies can be very easily treated. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the very, very beautiful class. I just wanted to appreciate two points that stuck in my mind. One is about how you were talking about Mayavad philosophy. You said it was like a temporary medicine that had to be taken. It should not be taken as full food. That was very nice. It was a situation when Shankaracharya had to give that philosophy, and it was like a temporary medicine. I thought that analogy was pretty beautiful. And also about the importance of doing the three-point check, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, not just taking things, just because someone said it. That also I really appreciate because you brought it out. Thank you so much. And of course about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful Siddhanta, how it encompasses all the other Vaishnava Siddhantas. That was very, very beautiful, Prabhuji. Thank you for the very wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glory to Prabhupada. Anybody else has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Prabhu. Very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. Chila Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Chila Prabhuji, very, very, very inspiring class as usual, and nectar in class. And especially you told us that we have to strictly follow Srila Prabhupada, Guru Krishna and Sastra, Prabhuji, and all the Acharya story also you explained. Thank you very much. Prabhuji, one request, can you please sing a Vaishnava song for all of us? And you send a link for whatever that is, an album.
Yeah, I forgot to send. I'll send it after class.
Please forgive us. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I will sing if anybody don't have any other questions. Otherwise, I'll answer the questions and sing one song.
Prabhuji, next time, can you please prepare this bhajana? Bhaja Gauranga, Laha Gauranga, Bhaja Gauranga Rana Amare. That one, Vaishnava song, next time, please sing for all of us.
Okay.
We want to learn from you. We are learner Vaishnava.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hi, Krishna. thank you so much for class. I was wondering if you would mind going through those four sampradayas again. But, you know, it was just going a little fast for me. And I just want to be a little clearer about what Mahaprabhu got from each one of them. Like, I know from, you know, and, you know, because, too, I think the Sanskrit was throwing me off with some of them. Okay, so, let me see. I think you said from Kumar Sampradaya, he adopted the mood of taking exclusive shelter of Radharani, right?
Yes.
And also this Gopi Bhav, right?
Yes.
Those are the two things. So, well, I don't know. Maybe it's too much for this class, especially at this time. You know, in other words, I just wanted to get a better idea of what that actually means. So the taking the mood of Gopi Bhav from Kumar Sampradaya, I guess that means that in his Achintya Beta Beta line, he wanted to emulate their mood toward Krishna.
Okay.
And taking exclusive shelter of Radharani, I guess that's like the ultimate Gopi Bhav, because those seem a little bit similar, you know, because she's the ultimate Gopi.
Fair enough. Okay, I'll answer these two points in a limited sense. As you rightly said, that topic by itself, when I was giving the class itself, I mentioned that this topic is in itself a series.
I know, it's huge.
Yeah. Mm. So basically, the way currently we are worshipping Radha and Krishna in our movement in general is Aishwarya. But that's not what it, you know, I know technically supposed to be Radha and Krishna should be worshipped more in the mood of Madhurya. But Prabhupada was very careful not to jump guns, not to, you know, jump steps. He was encouraging that today we are worshipping with Shodashopachar, 16 procedural, you know, worship. But then the goal is to develop love. Because today what we are doing is only something called as sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, which is about rules and regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually we are supposed to reach the stage of bhava and prema, where there are no rules, but fully with love. I mean, the mother taking care of the child as a duty, mother taking care of the child with love, they are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
If I do just a duty, then I provide you food, shelter, clothing, education, and etc. But if I provide love, then I participate in your decision. I take interest in various activities of yours, of your good and bad. So when we talk about Gopi Bhava, that is what Prabhupada wrote in the purport to verse number 9.4 that I read, where one, by just being practitioners of devotional service in Krishna consciousness, if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards Krishna, then they will be able to see Krishna everywhere. Like how gopis saw everywhere Krishna. The point of Gopi Bhava is just not sentimental attachment to Krishna's love. Gopis could see everything in connection with Krishna, and they saw Krishna in everything. What we always say, that Krishna and Krishna's. So that is the point of Gopi Bhava. Gopi Bhava is just not something like, you know, I just sit and have a morose mood of missing Krishna. That is not the point. That is only one aspect of it. Gopi Bhava means learning to see Krishna everywhere, connecting everything to Krishna. The pain is connected to Krishna. The pleasure is connected to Krishna. My relationships are, you know, given, offered to Krishna. So that is Gopi Bhava. So from that aspect of it, Mahaprabhu in his Sankirtan movement, all through the while, that's what he did. In fact, when I was mentioning how Mahaprabhu blessed different souls, look at Srinivas Acharya. Mahaprabhu blessed Srinivas Acharya by not giving him darshan, where Srinivas Acharya served Mahaprabhu in separation and eventually learned the highest signs of Krishna consciousness and demonstrated in his life. So that is Gopi Bhava. To an extent that Srinivas Acharya got opportunity to witness Rasleela by Srimati Radharani. So there are so many...
So Gopi Bhava is saying is not just about like missing Krishna out of separation, is also about seeing him in relationship to everything in one's existence.
Yes, yes. That is Gopi
Bhava. This is Gopi
Bhava. Yes. And this is a point on Radhika, Ekanta Radhika Shraya. The position of Srimati Radharani and what she experiences for Krishna, that is the topmost aspect of prema. We may not be able to reach that stage, but at least knowing that is the topmost, Vipralamba Rasa, love in separation, that is something that is to be understood because we are in that lineage. Nowhere we should get carried away and get, distracted by other philosophical agendas. And Ekanta Radhika Shraya means exclusive shelter of Srimati Radharani for that mood of loving in separation, which Mahaprabhu took his own personal incarnation to experience. So you need to always feel how I have to still love Krishna in separation, how learn to love Krishna in pain, how learn to love Krishna even though I am not bestowed with the, you know, benefits and results. So Ekanta Radhika Shraya is, you know, what is taking shelter of Radhika means? For her, how much ever pain Krishna gave, apparently, she cannot give up Krishna. I mean, this is the simplest explanation that I can give. There are more intricate details that we can get into. But the point is that the mood of serving Krishna is immaterial to whether you get or not get, you are supposed to serve. Because that is your constitutional nature.
But, isn't this also an aspect of Gopi Bhava, what you just described?
But then, Krishna, you know, the whole idea is, even though Radharani is a gopi, she is highlighted uniquely because she is a unique gopi that nobody else can replace that position. So the uniqueness of Srimati Radharani is definitely, you know, one notch up than other gopis.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know, this love and separation, it overlaps both of these aspects, Gopi Bhav and exclusive technique.
True. So one is a superset, another one is a subset. You can say that.
So,
for example, I'll explain this with another example. Rupa Goswami explains about always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Does always remember Krishna not include never forget Krishna? It includes. But he makes it explicit. When I say the word always remember Krishna means, I never forget Krishna. So it is a kind of reinforcement. Also, it is like a, you know, it's a technique of explaining something from a positive dimension as well as from a negative dimension. What you are supposed to do, what you are not supposed to do. That is why absolute truth is absolute from all dimensions.
Okay, so look, I guess You can say then that, you know, Gopi Bhav, you know, includes so many different things, but taking exclusive shelter of Radharani puts emphasis on that aspect of loving Krishna and separation, which is included in Gopi Bhav, but it's putting more emphasis. Can you say it like that?
Yes, you can say that.
Okay, so, and just also the Sanskrit for taking exclusive shelter was Ekanta Radhika, Ekanta Shraya Radhika, right?
Ekanta Radhika Shraya.
Okay. And then the Sanskrit for Gopi Bhav is just Gopi Bhav, I guess, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's Kumar Sampradaya. Now, I don't know. How about Rudra Sampradaya? I have here saying that what Mahaprabhu took from there was the sentiment of having total or exclusive dependence on Krishna, and also the concept of spontaneous devotional service.
Right.
Okay. What's this? How about the Sanskrit for those two terms? What was that?
So the first one is Tadiya Sarvasya Bhava.
Oh Lord, Tadiya what?
Tadiya Sarvasva Bhava.
Okay. And Okay, so that was Rudra Sampradaya. And then Sri Sampradaya. Let me see, what do I have for that? Oh, Ananya Bhakti, right? Just pure devotional service. Not mixed with karma again.
Yes.
And service to the devotees, right?
Yes.
Okay, what was the Sanskrit for that service to devotees?
Bhakta Jana Seva.
Bhakta Jana Seva?
Yeah.
Okay, then the last Sampradaya, what am I missing? Shiva, is that? No, I did that. Who am I missing? Who?
Madhva.
Oh, ours. Yeah, ours Sampradaya. Okay, so I think I probably missed that one altogether.
Yeah, so that.
Okay, so what?
One is, the first one is the complete defeat of Mayavada philosophy.
Oh, yeah, I have that somewhere.
That is Kevala Advaita Nirasana.
Wait a minute. Keva Advaita what?
Nirasana.
Nira something, I don't know.
Nirasana, N-I-R-A-S-A-N-A.
Okay. So complete defeat of Mayavada philosophy.
Yeah, and the second one is Krishna Murti Sevana.
Krishna Murti Sevana.
Yeah, which means the worship of the deity of Krishna.
Yeah.
And understanding them to be eternal.
Yeah. Okay. As opposed to my conception that you just use it as a bridge to for liberation, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Do you have time, Prabhuji?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, thank you so very much for the wonderful class, wonderful reflections, so many, you know, points and insights. Thank you, Prabhuji. So I have two questions. One is the fourth point of Mayavada philosophy that it is false. So
yes.
We have also read repeatedly, Prabhupada has mentioned that Maya means that which is not.
Mm-hmm.
So we also say that, you know, this is kind of not existing because it's illusion, because it's temporary in nature. for example, that my previous life is Maya now. That time it was truth, but now, you know, it's not existing anymore. Same way we can see about our childhood also. So is that the way that Vaishnava Sampradaya says that Maya, Maya means which is not our illusion, and how that Advaita Sampradaya says that it is false is different from this understanding?
Okay, I will read a small paragraph from book from Second Chance, chapter 11. So here Prabhupada explains, Shankaracharya's philosophy is to get out of this combination of material elements and become situated in our original spiritual position. Thus the Mayavadi's motto is Brahman Satyam Jagat Mithya. Brahman the absolute is true and the material creation is false. Shankaracharya rejected Buddha's philosophy which gives no information concerning the spirit soul. Both Buddhism and Mayavada philosophy reveal only partial truth. So where Prabhupada then he explains further, what he is saying is that the way by which they are defining this material nature as false is actually a very wrong representation, because it is actually true, just that it is temporary. So your statement of Maya, that which is not, does not say that what you see is not existing. What you are seeing is not the way you are thinking it is existing. So mirage is something that is always given as an explanation towards Maya. It is not that it is false that the water is not there, but the element water itself is not false. Because there is an element called water existing in this world, which is true, you have an understanding that element is existing, and you are interpreting that false representation of the element as true is what is called Maya. I'm not sure if I confused you too much. The point is that Maya definition is not to negate anything. It is to establish what is supposed to be classified as false, you are classifying them as true, and that's where the problem comes. That is what Maya, that which is not is supposed to be glorified for eternity, we are calling them eternity. That which is not supposed to be glorified as, you know, whatever, we are trying to embrace them. So when Mayavadas are saying Jagat Mithya, they are saying it is all false. They are trying to come up and debate, saying that what you are seeing is actually what you are not seeing, or what you are seeing is not what that is existing. So that is what the challenge is. If somebody suddenly comes and says that Lalitangi Mataji does not officially exist, I mean, you cannot accept that fact. You exist. You say that I don't exist forever. This world may not exist forever. So Bhagavad Gita, very clearly 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this world is truth. It's not an absolute truth. It is temporary. It is also have misery. This truth has to be accepted. The moment you say mithya, the moment you say it is false, the basis is changed. Now, if you say you are not existing, then you can do whatever you want to do. You can do all rascaldom you want to do. Because you will give a basis, I am not the existing, na? So what is the big deal if I do something? So Prabhupada says that as practitioners, we acknowledge this body is temporary. We use this temporary body. We operate on this temporary body with a temporary principle to aim for elevating the soul which got locked up into this temporary body, and to get this process work on us to quit this temporary arrangement to switch to a permanent arrangement. So today, the word Maya, as it is explained by Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and the word Maya, as it is explained by Mayavadis itself. In fact, if you study the Hinduism, it's a very detailed topic of Maya as explained by Shankara, Maya as explained by Gaudiya. That itself is a whole lot of philosophy that we can talk about. What they say as Maya is our own understanding of this world, our body, our identity. And what Astra explains about Maya is the representation and connection and the source to which you connect each object. Am I making some sense here?
Yeah, yes, Prabhu. So they are denying the existence and its connection to the Lord, because there is no Lord to for this temporary thing to get connected to, right? That
yes.
is that.
Yes. 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 Mm. They are, because for them, the God itself is an intermittent arrangement. Technically, there is no God existing. Everything is a mithya. God, if at all, is existing, is only for your imagination. Because you are not able to operate on an empty space, I'll give you some, object to hold on to. But this object is not your ultimate, so hence, everything else is false. Your existence is false, your thinking is false, the world is false, everything is false. Only one thing that is truth is, this universe is absolute, and it's all wide open to all of us. So that is what Mayavada says. But what we say, no, Krishna is true. Our relationship with Krishna is true. We are true. We are eternal. Krishna is eternal. Our relationship is eternal. Today, we have forgotten that forgotten nature is actually false. That forgotten nature is actually Maya. Hence, the moment you are remembered, moment you are reminded, then the connection is re-established and you are, back to happy mode. Is that making some sense?
Yeah, very much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Your class is very, very valuable today, because this is how we can keep ourselves unadulterated with other philosophies, and also we can use this to see the genuinity of anything that we come across. The power to identify what is Mayavada and what is not. That is. Very, very, very important to acquire that from, listening to your lectures and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. My another question is, where is it mentioned that Mahaprabhu took these two principles from the four sampradayas?
It is there in some purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if I'm right. If not, I can get you the exact reference, Maybe there are other scholars in the call, they can also answer. But then I personally picked it up from some sources while doing my own research. So I can give you the exact reference where this was quoted. But there are so many Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas who have written the literatures where they have referred this. Probably some Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami's. It is also there in Bhaktira Samrata Sindhu, if I am right. So, I can get you the reference,
Madhavi. Prabhuji, if I can add, it is there in the Dashamula of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, a portion of Jaiva Dharma.
See, I told you. we have some Kalpa Kariksha in the call. So, anything that you ask for, Preeti Vilasini Madhavi, if you just shake that tree, you'll get some fruits hanging, low hanging fruit, just that will fall. Thank you, Madhavi.
Yeah, I agree, Prabhuji. All, due to the, you should say the mud of Srirangam that we got, both of you, like this, enlightening us.
This is a very bad comparison, but I will take this as my warning sign to be careful.
No, Prabhuji, yeah, thank you so much. So one more thing is that Vallabha Bhatta, you said that he is
Keshav Kashmiri.
Oh, Vallabha Bhatta is Keshav Kashmiri.
Did I say that? I think so. One second, let me. Vallabha Bhatta is Vallabhacharya.
Vallabhacharya, right.
Nimbarka is Keshava Kashmiri.
Okay. So Vallabha Bhatta was in Rudra Sampradaya, you said, right?
I'm sorry, wait a minute. Vallabha Bhatta is Vishnu Swami and Keshava Kashmiri is Nimbarkacharya.
Vishnu Swami came as Vallabha Bhatta.
Yes. Basically, what happens is Mahaprabhu in his manifest Leela, that he touched upon everybody. Guru Nanak, he touched upon Ramanujacharya, he touched everybody, he gave his association to everybody. Because everybody, when they got to know about Mahaprabhu, how they can control themselves. Mm. So, Mahaprabhu, what promise Mahaprabhu gave? I remember now, after Preeti Vilasini Madhavi said about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is that one of the reasons Mahaprabhu is doing this, is inheriting, is when he met them, when they had a, when he had a conversation with them, he had an appreciation for their love for Krishna, and to reciprocate their love, or you know, to give an adan pradan, he said that I will definitely take two of your teachings and embed in my preaching. So it was kind of a gesture that Mahaprabhu showed, that today you remember me subtly within yourself. When I'm going to start my preaching mission, then I'm going to definitely include your, you know, love for me in this manner.
Oh, beautiful, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Do you have time for one more question? I don't think it'll be a long one. Thank you so much. Thank you. I wanted to just clarify from my understanding of one of the first purports that you read of Srila Prabhupada's, where you mentioned that I think if I heard it right, that the philosophy of Shankaracharya was to confute the atheists. And to me it sounded as though that's saying that there are some who are always atheists or eternally atheists. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so basically this is from what I read was from teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 19, Prabhupada mentions there, where it is also there in a book by Satsurup Maharaj, where he talks about the Hinduism and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. The whole idea of Mayavada philosophy is a medicine for an epidemic that happened at that time where people started to reject. So the sequence is like this. Before Buddhist, people were using Vedas for their sense gratification. Animal sacrifice became a sense gratifying agenda. They just started to kill animals. They started to enjoy. They started to take Vedas in their hands for their own self-enjoyment. And then Krishna couldn't tolerate this and he has to stop this so people cannot abuse Veda. So he came as Buddha. Krishna himself came as Buddha. He completely chastised, crushed this whole ideology about Veda by itself. The moment if you talk about Veda, then only you will justify your action of animal sacrifice. Now I'll go and preach how Veda don't exist. And he did a fantastic job.
Mm.
Now, that is an intermittent arrangement. That medicine is also not supposed to be consumed. So he had to kind of counteract that. So he sent Lord Shiva, his devotee, to preach once again how Vedas exist. So to preach Vedas exist, so he has to somehow give some additional tips, additional enticement. The enticement is Mayavada philosophy. Don't worry, you are also Brahman, I am also Brahman, everybody is Brahman. You just accept this Veda, you will realize yourself how great you are. So his way of selling the philosophy is that how this whole world is just an illusion. Technically, if you get purified, you are going to become God. So please accept this philosophy, hence subscribe to Vedas. So he made people to at least come to some pramana or some basis that Vedas has to be accepted. So because Shankara is such a powerful, voracious preacher, he could counteract, he could influence Buddhists and, you know, make them turn around and accept Vedas. And then all the Vaishnava Acharyas, one after the other, came and they kind of, once again, now the Vedas basis is established. Now everybody came and gave Vedanta Sutras, which is explanation and commentary to the, you know, Vedas, and eventually established or re-established or regained the lost glory. So from that perspective, the Shankaracharya philosophy was just to mislead atheists who were actually denying Vedas to make them accept that Vedas have to be accepted. Even though it is an aberrated one, it was just meant to accomplish only that task of reinstating Veda. Is that okay?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for explaining that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
And thank you so much for your classes. They're always so wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I'm sorry, but just one more time. I know Nimbarkacharya, you said, was Keshava Kashmiri, and Vallabhacharya, I think, was who?
Vishnu Swami is Vallabha Bhatta.
Oh, Vallabha Bhatta. Okay.
Yeah, Vallabha Bhatta was one of the associates of Mahaprabhu. So it is said that Vishnu Swami came as Vallabha Bhatta during Mahaprabhu's Leela also.
Okay. Do we know anything about the acharyas for the other two?
Yeah, so if, I'm not...
Did we lose you?
I'm not sure that if Ramanujacharya...
Your voice broke up. We lost you.
Yeah. I'm saying that I'm not sure if Ramanujacharya personally came and participated in Mahaprabhu's Leela. I'm not so sure. Whatever information I had, I shared. Maybe others may have some information.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Anybody has any other questions? Okay. So... I'm sure it's late, but then I'll still satisfy the request of our Vrinda Mataji by singing a small song quickly. I'll choose a small one so that it gets over pretty fast. Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chintamani Dama Ratana Mandhira Manohara Avrita Kalindinire Raja Hamsa Keli Kore Tahe Shobe Kanaka Kamala Tara Madhe Mapita Ashtadale Vestita Ashtadale Pradhana Naika Tara Madhye Ratna Stane Bosiya Chindui Jane Shama Sange Sundari Radhika O Rupa Lavanya Rashi Amiya Pariche Kashi Hasya Parihasa Sambhashane Narottama Dasa Koi Nitya Lila Shuka Moi Sadai Spuruka Mora Mane Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chintamani Dama Ratana Mandira Manohara Jai Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Thank you.
Shri Dham Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhu.
Jai. Very beautiful.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the very beautiful class and the beautiful singing.
Prabhuji, send your group bhajan.
Yes, I'll do that.
Thank you. Please forgive us for bothering you.
No, there's no bothering.
So if no one else has any questions, comments or realizations, we can end the call. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Krapasya Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavranda Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji Ki Jai
Thank you Prabhuji Hare Krishna